From Elon News Network, ENN Radio is a weekly podcast bringing you the stories behind the headlines. I'm Mackenzie Wilkes. 33 cases of vaping-related illnesses have been reported to the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services since September 18th. The outbreak of vaping-related illnesses across the United States has led President Trump to consider a ban on flavored e-cigarettes. Maeve Ashbrook spoke to one student who thinks the ban won't stop people from vaping.
Elon sophomore Megan Allen used to smoke half a Juul pod a day, which is equivalent to 10 cigarettes. But now she says she's trying to quit.
I hid my Juul from myself.
As a political science major, Allen believes there may be more effective ways of helping others like her quit smoking e-cigarettes, other than Trump's proposed ban.
The U.S. got people to stop smoking cigarettes. They didn't ban the sale of cigarettes. They did other things like fund advertisements that showed the negative effects of smoking cigarettes, and they put a higher tax on it.
According to the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, 28 of the reported vaping-related illnesses fueling the ban were here in North Carolina. Dr. Jeanette Archnell is the director of Elon Student Health Services. She says researchers don't know exactly what is causing the outbreak and isn't sure why e-cigarettes were allowed to be sold in the first place.
We know that smoking ordinary cigarettes destroys lungs over time. I mean, we know that. I have no understanding why e-cigarettes were ever allowed to come to market.
And the uncertainty of what's being inhaled is exactly why Allen says she decided to quit.
We're not sure what the effects are, but it's not the healthiest lifestyle, and I'm already doing other lifestyle choices that aren't the best for my health.
Maeve Ashbrook, ENN Radio.
Elon University health officials are also urging students to stop vaping. With me here is Brian Ray. Brian, you talked to a substance abuse expert that works with campus recreation wellness about the university's take on vaping and the risks associated with it. What are those risks?
Yeah, so basically her name is Callie Kelly, and she said that there are a multitude of risks, both short-term and long-term. Some of the short-term risks immediately when you're vaping is can mess with your heart rate, shortness of breath, anything along those lines. And then the long-term effects are the acute lung damages, respiratory illnesses, all that stuff that the CDC is currently warning us about.
And what's the university's stance that she said on vaping?
Yeah, so Kelly said that she joins Elon in advising students to listen to the CDC and backing the CDC's warning to people to stop vaping while they investigate this outbreak of lung illness that is tied to vaping.
Listen to the CDC's warning. You know, this is not about creating hysteria, but this is serious. And I can say that Elon joins with the CDC in advising, strongly advising anyone that vapes to stop vaping.
And so Campus Rec and Wellness has started a Juul exchange program through their affiliate, Sparks. What is that program? How does it work?
Sure. So Kelly explained it to me that basically students can go to Sparks and turn in their Juul or other vaping device in exchange for a host of things. So she said free personal training sessions, free massages, free fitness classes, and then also they'll pair you up with appropriate resources to help you quit vaping.
And so you talked to some of those students that do Juul. What are their takes on all of this?
Yeah, so it was really interesting because I spoke to two students for this story, and both of them started because of a social situation. So one kid said, oh, everybody was doing it at parties, so I felt like I had to do it too. And then another girl was like, oh, my friend was doing it, I tried it, and then I bought my own, and now here I am. One of them had recently quit, so he was a little more agreeable with the CDC's warning. But then the other student I talked to didn't really seem too fazed. She said she didn't really understand what the CDC was saying, and she felt like they needed to do more research and be more clear. So it was interesting because they both kind of started in the same way, but now they both have different perspectives on the CDC's warning.
Brian, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mackenzie.
There's one less fraternity occupying Lloyd Center. The Elon chapter of Kappa Sigma has had their charter revoked. Reporter Jack Norcross is here to help us understand why the fraternity is no longer on campus.
Thanks, Mackenzie, for having me. Yeah, so it's kind of a interesting story. There's kind of multi-layers to it, but just to give you some context, last spring, Elon University decided to place the fraternity on disciplinary probation that extended into June of 2020. And then they enforced alcohol-free social gatherings until April of 2020. So the university was really getting involved last spring. And they actually cited this in their statement of kind of one of the reasons they were removed from campus was that because they were violating Elon's honor code. With that being said, this was ultimately a decision made by international headquarters, so the national organization of Kappa Sigma. They said that one of the things that concerned them and the reasons for them dropping is because many people in the organizations decided to drop from Kappa Sigma. So they decided to leave the organization. At that point, they knew that something was apparently going on. And ultimately, they were the ones to revoke their status as a chapter on Elon's campus.
Jack, you contacted the president of Kappa Sigma. What did he have to say?
Yeah, that's right, Mackenzie. Sam Olson was at least the last president of Kappa Sigma for now. And he had this to say to Elon News Network, quote, "None of us wanted this to happen. Every member is extremely disappointed in the route Kappa Sigma headquarters decided to take in regards to the Lambda Lambda chapter. I love every member and have thoroughly enjoyed our time on this campus. Sadly, the Elon culture is changing, especially in regards to fraternities and Greek life. And we, as a chapter, were unable to change with it," end quote. So basically some strong words, almost blaming the university for what's going on.
And since the fraternity is no longer on campus, what's going to happen to those students that live in the house?
Yeah, so last Tuesday was something, another reason we got a little suspicious when the Greek letters of the Kappa Sigma on-campus house were being removed. And at that point, we kind of really started figuring out what else was going on. And we learned this week that the people living in the house are going to need to move by this upcoming Sunday. And they'll be moved to various locations all across campus.
Thanks for the update, Jack.
Thanks, Mackenzie.
A new way to recycle has come to Elon's campus. Clothes and other textile items can now be recycled in Mosley Center and every neighborhood office. Margaret Faust has the story.
There's a new textile recycling program started by the Office of Sustainability. This program takes donations from students of anything that can be repurposed, including clothing, belts, shoes, and more. Kelly Hare, an assistant director at the Office of Sustainability, talked about the importance of reusing textiles.
Instead of taking something and just putting it in the ground to contribute to climate change, we can instead donate it to someone and have them get another use out of it, or at least have it be broken down and turned into something new.
GreenZone, a textile recycling company in Greensboro, sorts the donations. Items that are in good condition are donated to thrift stores. Anything that can't be donated will go to a textile manufacturing facility where it will be broken down and turned into new textiles. Sarah Harmon, an adjunct instructor in environmental studies, explains the environmental impact of textile waste.
We're running out of land space. As the population keeps growing, we need more food to grow. So we don't want to put more things into the landfill to take up more space. We also don't want our soil, which we need to grow food in, our water that we need to drink and bathe, and our air that we breathe, to be contaminated any further than they absolutely already are or need to be.
Although both Harmon and Hare are glad the program is in place, they wish students would be more mindful of their consumption. During move-out last year, Hare says the Don't Trash It program collected over 10 tons of waste from students, most of which was clothing, giving the Office of Sustainability the idea for the textile recycling program. Margaret Faust, ENN Radio.
Phoenix are headed for a Division I face-off against the Demon Deacons tomorrow at BB&T Field. Reporter John Sarver is here to give us the rundown on how the Phoenix are looking ahead of tomorrow's game against Wake Forest.
Thank you, Mackenzie. Elon's coming off their second straight win. The offense was clicking last week. Two of Elon's players came away with hardware as a result of last week's game against Richmond, which they won 42-20. Davis Cheek had 5 touchdown passes, all of them to different wide receivers. And then Shamari Wingard took home CAA Special Teams Player of the Week for his 96-yard touchdown return, which was the first for Elon since 2007. Wake Forest is also coming off a big win themselves. They just beat Mack Brown's UNC Tar Heels, and this will be their homecoming game this week.
Why is this matchup against the Demon Deacons a big deal?
For Elon, they are an FCS football team. Wake Forest is the FBS subdivision, which is the Football Bowl subdivision. Elon plays usually one FBS team per year. Last year, they played University of South Florida, and they lost that game 34-14. So this will be one of the tougher opponents that Elon has faced on their schedule this year.
Well, thanks, John. I'm looking forward to see how the Phoenix stack up.
You're welcome.
Subscribe to ENN Radio on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. When we're not on the air, visit our website, elonnewsnetwork.com, and follow us on social media at Elon News Network. Talk to you next week.